This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
I'm pleased to welcome to the show Sophie Kirk, Director of the Holistic Healthcare Group. Hello there, Sophie, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jackie. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
And welcome to the Just Women show. So before we find out all about your company, the Holistic Healthcare Group, it'd be really interesting to find out a bit about your background, because it sounds absolutely fascinating that you started off studying Chinese medicine.
Yes. So I did. I started off quite a while ago now. I completed my degree in Chinese medicine and acupuncture. And throughout that, I had a focus on mental health, due to, I think, you know, many people these days have it touched their lives through family, friends and all sorts, really. It's fairly common. And so I always wanted to look at that. So I wrote my research dissertation on bipolar disorder, and then went into private practice. And because I wanted to specialize in mental health, I went on to study CBT.
What is CBT?
That is cognitive behavioral therapy. So it's a talking therapy type. And I just wanted, I understood it very, very well from a Chinese medicine perspective and the way their systems work, and that it, and it's very much body and mind are kind of linked and everything's connected. But I wanted to understand it from a more Western approach as well. So when talking to people, I could access both sets of tools, if you like.
Yes, of course. And then you became an Anxiety UK approved practitioner. So what does that mean exactly?
So that means that I've undergone, I always forget to mention that as well, actually. it means I've undergone their training as well, and that I'm qualified to receive patients from them and help in their trials and things like that.
So you would have one-to-one sessions with people and help and counsel them about their anxiety and depression?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And so at what point then did you decide, right, I'm going to start up my own business?
So really being in private practice, I guess there was a sense of frustration for me to only help one person at a time. and then also realizing that there's a massive need for prevention and proper education around mental health. And that would ultimately solve a lot of the issues that are coming up what's been happening for years and years and years. And, you know, mental health, particularly in young people, has declined for over a decade now. So in a steady decline, COVID has really brought it to the forefront.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's brilliant from my perspective, because it's less convincing people that there's a problem. But yeah, so looking at that, I wanted to really create a business that could help people before they need help, and avoid them getting to that point. So traditionally we've just triaged. So they wait till people get to the point where they need therapy and things are a bit of a mess and in a bit of a pickle, and go to therapy and spend months or years trying to unpick that. And it's just not a great model, to be honest. Obviously there's always going to be a need for therapy, but if we can avoid as many people getting there as possible with simple techniques and education and habit building within schools, and with children in general, then there'd be less pressure on our therapists.
Of course. And so when did you start up your business?
So my goodness, it would be, I guess, about 3 years ago now. And it was, I remember actually, because I opened a clinic originally, but even before that, I remember talking with therapists around my kitchen table about these projects and trying to get them going then. So it was probably pre that as well that the planning kind of started and the development of what we do now started, because it's a learning curve, you know, it's a new way of looking at things. It's took a while to develop it and get to the point where we are now, which is, we understand the best processes to bring in.
Yes, and you're working with businesses providing preventative mental health education and schools. And so perhaps you could talk to us about what you do with schools, because I was quite amazed about the figures on your website that around 1 in 9 children aged 5 to 15 are currently struggling with some form of mental health disorder. And the biggest culprits are anxiety, depression, other emotional disorders. I would imagine that has completely, as you said earlier, really come to the fore during COVID. So how do you help the schools?
Yes. Yeah. So it is in a bit of a mess. And yeah, the way we help schools is going in on an education basis and trying to support the teachers, because also we realise that teachers are so stressed and so overrun with work, and they have more hours to teach in a year than they have time for, and they're under a massive amount of pressure. So really, a lot of the work has been trying to develop a method that is not going to give them a whole nother job.
Yes, of course.
Because they don't need one. So yeah, the statistics around children and their mental health are very, very shocking, and getting worse. Like I say, every year at the moment, Mind have just brought out a whole new research piece, which is really sad as well. So I do have a look on their website for that. And with schools, we try and support the teachers. So it depends what age group we're looking at. So the little ones, we very much support the teachers to build in 5-minute habit building sessions. And it's about doing training with the teachers and then building it into their day and helping them with that. So it becomes an easy thing, not a daunting, oh my goodness, what is this? And at that age, the younger kids, it's just about creating those healthy habits more than anything else.
When you say healthy habits, what do you mean?
So short techniques, so short NLP techniques or short mindfulness techniques that you can build into 5 minutes before the lesson starts, you know, that sort of thing. So they're just getting used to it. And then as they get older, we can start bringing in education to the children as well and explaining those therapies and techniques and how they work and why they work and the science and research behind them in a gradual way, with teacher support. And then with the older kids, secondary school and above, we also have our mental health app, MELP, which I spent the last year developing, or 18 months it is now, God, time flies. And that's kind of, we lead with that as well. And it's a great tool. There's hundreds of techniques and tools that kids can use on there. And we know by that age that they're not reaching out for help as much as they should do. And it's good for them to have a tool, but also understand how to use it as well. So the education pieces are still in there, the teachers are still in there, because it still needs to become a habit, and habits are, that's the biggest challenge really. The tools and techniques are proven, they're easy peasy really. Preventative mental health is not rocket science, but it's getting people to do it, that's the key.
Yes, and I would have thought for the older kids, one of the key times has been the exam period with the GCSEs and A-levels. So a lot of mental stress going on over that time, isn't there?
Yes, for sure. And especially the last couple of years, because it's been so unsure. So the uncertainty, yes, around it. I mean, these kids, they're told for their whole school years that this is the most important time of their life, you know, yet. And then it's all confused and muddled. And if you can just imagine the stress that creates in them and the uncertainty of their futures and things like that, it's really awful what's been happening. And one of the things that the Mind research said was that, you know, 78% of children said that school has made their mental health worse. And I think particularly over the last 18 months, we can see that can be true. But I think it's the stress of it and not having the tools to cope with the stress. So obviously there's going to be stresses with schools. There always has been, always will be, and life. We can't avoid that. That's just how life is. But it's just not having the tools to deal with it appropriately, I think, is the key.
Yeah, so it's very exciting then, this new MELP app that you've developed, because students can access over 90 different tools and techniques on it, which is incredible.
Yeah, so it's well over 100 now.
Okay.
We should update the website because we add new tools every month. So at the beginning there was over 90, and as it's progressed we're adding more all the time. So yeah, it's exciting that they can have access to to all of this. And that was the thinking behind all of this, really, is that people just need to know that it's not as scary and as hard as they think it is. If we catch it early, particularly, there's easy techniques that can be put in place, and you know, counselling, although amazing, is not the only way to deal with things. And there's loads of other therapies out there that work and are research based, but they're not readily available. And it's about an education on that as well, so people don't think, oh my goodness, counselling hasn't worked for me, so therefore I have nowhere to go. That's sad, I think, when people think like that. There's so many other options.
Yes, and as you're saying, there's incredible amount of options on this app. Can you give us some examples of these different tools?
Yes. Oh God, there's loads. So so it goes across sort of mental health and well-being. So it's got the sort of the traditional, if you like, the yoga and the mindfulness and the meditation, and it's got a lot of introductions to these as well. So if you're unsure what they are, you can go on and listen, watch a video and learn. But then we've also got counselling tools, coaching tools, EFT, which is emotional freedom technique, which is a tapping. We've got hypnotherapy audio. So if you'd like to, you know, it was great for anxiety, great for sleep. I've never heard the end of one of those. I tend to be asleep by the end.
Right.
Yeah. So you know, that's just a few. Oh, NLP, of course, we've got on there, which is neuro-linguistic programming. We've got some stuff around nutrition and how to eat well to balance your emotions and mental health, and particularly with sleep problems and anxieties and things. If you know, high sugars and caffeine is not good. And some dietary advice in there as well, because it is a whole body mind thing. It's not going to ever just be one.
Sure. Well, that's really interesting. And also in the schools themselves, you actually conduct mental health lessons, well-being classes and after school clubs.
Yeah. So, we had a great uptake on that. We haven't done so much post-COVID. I did have some stuff booked in, and then I had to do it on Zoom, which is never great with kids, I don't think, but, you know, needs must. We had over 70% of the kids we had well over half of the kids sign themselves up to our wellbeing classes that they didn't have to do. And these were teenagers. So I thought, oh, probably might not get many, but actually they really realized the importance of it. And they realize that they need help and they don't know what to do. So they're really keen. The kids are really keen. And the 70% thing was with the app. So we've been doing trials of secondary schools with the app, and 70% of the students trialed think that it's a good tool for their school and good for the students, which is also really positive. And it just shows that they want it.
Yeah. So you've had some good feedback from it then.
Definitely some good feedback. Yeah. It's just getting it out there more. But like I say, those conversations are easier to have now. So it's positive that we got a good place to start from. And yeah, it can be as simple as an after school club. It can be app help. It can be teacher support. Or it can be all of the above. You know, it can work and fit into a school.
Okay. And if a school listening would like to employ you in these techniques, how do they go about that?
So they can get in touch via the website, which is the holistichealthcaregroup.com. So
yeah,
sorry.
Don't worry, we'll do that again at the end. Yeah.
It's a bit of a mouthful. But yeah, just get in touch and have a conversation. You know, we're just going to have a chat and work out what's going wrong from their opinion and how our support might fit in. That's always the key, is how we fit in, because they're time stretched. And then, you know, state funded schools budgets are often a challenge as well, but we do help and support that and help with fundraising for schools that need us to help with that. So try and make it as easy as possible to ensure we get the help out there that these kids need.
Yeah, because you've also set up a not-for-profit company, the Holistic Healthcare Education, CIC.
Yes. Yeah. So that's where we do our fundraising through. And that I set that up just to make it really transparent that we are doing this in a really authentic way. And although we do have the business side of the business, that, you know, for that, that's our kind of charity project. Which we put 10% of all of our profits into as well, to help provide budgets for areas that are struggling to find it but need help.
Right. Okay. Well, it sounds as though you're incredibly busy. So how do you relax and take time off?
Oh, gosh. I do. And a massive thing with this sort of stuff is it's a non-negotiable. So, you know, there's always something else to do. And the list is never ending. So prioritize. And I meditate daily. I exercise. I journal. I use affirmations. So I've got all sorts going on. I definitely practice what I preach, and it definitely gets me through stressful, busy times. And without those practices, I think, you know, definitely over the last 18 months, things would have been, could have, you know, it's easy. You can see how they can spiral, but yeah.
Yeah. And do you have three top tips for our listeners on how they can relax more?
Gosh. Well, there's all sorts of ways of relaxing more. The top tip would find what works for you. Don't expect it to be the first thing you come across. If you don't like that, then find something that you connect with. Make it a non-negotiable, and never miss more than one day. So we have to realize we can't chase the perception of perfection. I always say, you know, everybody messes up. Everyone has a day where they go, oh, I just missed it today because things ran away with me or whatever. That's fine. Not all is lost. Just pick yourself up the next day and carry on again. Don't miss more than one day.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you so much for telling us all about that, Sophie. Would you like to give us your website details, please?
Yes. So, so the website, as I said, was theholistichealthcaregroup.com. So it's quite a mouthful. But you can also go and get a free 30-day trial of MELP app at melp-app.com, and just give it a go. And there's no details took financially for the 30-day trial. So, you know, it's authentically giving you the opportunity to try it out.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Sophie.
Thank you for having me.
That was Sophie Kirk, Director of the Holistic Healthcare Group.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.